This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We're going to start with some NBA games last night. The most interesting down in Houston, where the Lakers just can't seem to get it together. Early in the season, there's already a hack-a-shack mentality with Dwight Howard. That became an issue. Lakers go down to Houston, and despite James Harden, the star of Houston, of course, shooting 3-for-19, Houston still manages to win. Houston 107, the Lakers 105. This is clearly not Kobe Bryant can just score whenever he wants and win the game. He had 39, 6 rebounds, but it wasn't enough. And what everyone is starting to do early in the year is simply foul Dwight Howard throughout the game, but really in the fourth quarter yesterday, 5-for-10. And, you know, there's a split after the game. Mike D'Antoni was there specifically. Why don't you take Dwight Howard out of the game? He can't make a foul shot. He's hurting the team late. And D'Antoni, if this is how he's going to play it, it's going to be a problem for the Lakers. But he said simply, quote, you just don't do that to a guy. And what am I going to do, take him out all the time? And it's very interesting the way this is shaken out because the league is jumping on this early. Howard yesterday, 5-for-10 in the fourth quarter, 8-for-16 for the game. And again, that's not good. It's pretty bad, actually. But the rest of the team has not been so good either. In the last 5 minutes in overtime this year, the team is 20-for-35. As a team, Howard only shooting 46% during that time, but the rest of the team only shooting 68%, so it's not like you got a bunch of 80, 90% foul shooters. Now, you can argue, again, that'll change when Dwight Howard gets back, when Steve Nash gets back from his leg injury, but right now the Lakers are a poor foul shooting team as a team, and, of course, Dwight Howard is a disaster as a team. Now, Howard and the coach, they both said correctly to some degree that's not why they lost. They didn't lose the game because of Howard's foul shooting. They lost the game because of defense. Houston scored 34 points in the fourth quarter. So obviously they only had 73 after three, so they were averaging 24 per quarter and then scored 34 in the fourth quarter. Tony Douglas, who has revitalized his career, I always liked Tony Douglas when he was on the Knicks because he can defend, but yesterday Douglas scored 22 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists off the bench, 3 for 7 from 3. Tony Douglas is a very good NBA player. He kind of was under the radar in New York, and he got some playing time last year, but then lost his confidence, and then really just wasn't any good. Now, Jeremy Lin, conversely, yesterday, 2 for 8, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Douglas is actually getting more playing time off the bench than Lin is as a starter. And again, James Harden goes 3-for-19, scores 15 points, and the Rockets still win. So obviously a good sign for the Rockets, a disaster for the Lakers. The Lakers are now 8-10, and after Kobe, all they got was 16 and 12 rebounds from Dwight Howard, 15 from Antoine Jameson. Now, yesterday, Pau Gasol didn't play, tendonitis. So, obviously, you can say, oh, the Rockets won because the Lakers didn't have Pau Gasol. But still, when your best player by far shoots 3-for-19, you still win the game. To me, that's a very good sign for the Rockets. The Lakers now 8-10. The Rockets now 9-8, surprisingly to me. Although, again, I think the Rockets have a nice squad. Parsons had 13 points. He lit up the Knicks last week. They have a nice young team. I think their oldest starter is like 24 years old, so they're going to be okay. Rockets 107, Lakers 105, very interesting now, and I think the league is going to get on board and just frankly foul Dwight Howard late in the game, maybe even early in the game now to get back in the game if they get down late. So Kobe, 39, 6 rebounds, not enough. Houston 107, Lakers 105. More shocking is the 1-13 Wizards at home to play the Miami Heat. You have to think this is a walkover for the Miami Heat. But amazingly, shockingly, surprisingly, the Miami Heat get beat by the Wizards. Wizards 105, Heat 101, and again, all this being done without John Wall. So the Wizards winning only their second game of the year. You know, they've got some athletic guys. Jordan Crawford off the bench, 22 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. He's a pretty good player. They have some athleticism, but it's one of those games where you let this team stick around, stick around, stick around, and they were able to win at the end. LeBron with a triple-double, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. Bosch with 20 and 12 rebounds. Dwayne Wade with 24 points. And you hear those numbers in the big three play, and you go, how could they possibly lose to the Wizards? But again, Wizards with 64 points off the bench, led by Crawford's 22. They do have some young talent. They're not very good, obviously. They're 2-13 now. But they did beat Miami in Washington yesterday. And again, LeBron, despite his triple-double, gets criticized late for taking a bunch of three-pointers that he can't make. His numbers, his stats are now 3-13 in game-tying or go-ahead situations in the last 24 seconds or in overtime. And, of course, you know Ray Allen is 3-3 this year, and that's why he's in Miami to take those big threes late. But they didn't get the ball to Allen late. He was on the floor, but he didn't get the ball. LeBron took two threes. Both of which he had good looks, both of which he missed. And, you know, after the game, he's like, it's not a big deal. I had good looks. I just missed. But that's been the pattern with Miami. You know, last year in the playoffs, in those game-winning situations, he had a lot of trouble. Dwayne Wade had a lot of trouble. They really didn't have that guy. And I think that guy this year should be Ray Allen. Again, it's all just a run to the playoffs for Miami and what they're going to do health-wise and shooting-wise in the playoffs. You recall Mike Miller went off last year in the final game. I think he was 6-for-7 from threes, and that's why it was a blowout. But they have Ray Allen this year. He should be taking those shots. Even LeBron James should know that. And maybe an early season loss to a woeful team like Miami will wake them up. The Wizards will wake them up. Miami drops to 12-4. Washington moves up, I guess, to 2-13. Wizards 105, Heat 101. Again, that's a gigantic win for the Washington Wizards. Another interesting game. The Thunder go into Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, against Brooklyn. And again, Brooklyn's a very good team. The Thunder on the road, obviously, they're one of the premier teams in the NBA. They beat Brooklyn in Brooklyn. OKC 117, Brooklyn 111. Kevin Durant has 32 points for the Thunder. Westbrook leads them with 9 assists. The Nets get 33 from Darren Williams and 7 assists. Joe Johnson had 17 points. Chris Humphries 12 rebounds, but it's not enough. Oklahoma City is just, you know, they're a stunningly good team. They shoot 60% from the field, which is not what Brooklyn and Avery Fisher want to see defensively. But Avery Johnson, I'm sorry. Thunder 117, Brooklyn 111. The Thunder move to 15-4. The Nets drop to 11-6. A few other games in the NBA. Now, I talked about the Bulls without their star, Derrick Rose. I don't think they're very good. They just don't have, even when Rose is there, they don't really have that number two scorer. I think it kind of came out again last night. The Pacers, who have not been good, I think they have a good team, but they have not been that good. They're now playing better. Beat the Bulls in Chicago. Again, no Derrick Rose for the Bulls, but he's going to be out for a long time. Pacers 80, Bulls 76. George goes off for 34 and 9 rebounds for the Pacers. After that, it's only West and Hibbert, the big center, with 10 points each. Hibbert with 11 rebounds, West with 9 rebounds. They have a well-rounded team. Again, they don't really, really have that superstar as well, but the Bulls, without Rose, you know, Dang has 17 and Boozer has 14 and Robinson has 19 off the bench, but they just don't have that guy. And that's going to be a problem for them. Unless Rose comes back 100%, And even then, as we talked about in the playoffs last year, they don't really have that number two scorer after Rose when he is there. So the Bulls, to me, have struggled to an 8-8 record. They got off like 3-1. Now they're 8-8. Indiana has come back to now be 9-9. So a good win on the road for the Pacers. Again, I think the Pacers have talent. They don't have a super-duper star. I think the Bulls have talent, but they don't have a superstar when Rice is not there, frankly. And that came up again to bite them yesterday. Pacers 80, Bulls 76. Phoenix, not a very good team this year. In Memphis to play the Grizzlies, an excellent team this year. And the Suns take the Grizzlies to overtime. But in the overtime, again, not surprisingly, it's all Memphis as they beat the Bulls. They beat the Suns by 10 in overtime. Grizzlies 108, Suns 98. Zach Randolph is unbelievable again. He is a stat machine. 15 for 22 from the field, 8 for 8 from the foul line, 38 points, 22 rebounds. He's unbelievable. Now, when he played with the Knicks, he didn't seem to have that winning attitude, but he certainly has it down in Memphis. Maybe it wasn't his fault with the Knicks. He was a stat machine, a double-double machine with the Knicks, but he's always been able to score. He's a big body, 38 and 22. Rudy Gay with 14, Marc Gasol, Powell's brother, 14, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He's a very good player. A lot of people think he's better than his brother now. Conley, the point guard, as you know, a good player, 11 points, 5 rebounds. Grizzlies 108, Suns 98. Again, not much there. You know, Dragic, the point guard, is a good player. He had 19. Scola off the bench, he had 16 and 8 rebounds, but the Suns really are going nowhere. Grizzlies 108, Suns 98 in overtime. Memphis moves their record all the way up to 13-3, and Phoenix drops to 7-12. So in the NBA last night, you'll have to say, well, one other game, the Timberwolves on the road in Philly beat the 76ers. Timberwolves 105, 76ers 88. The Timberwolves now are going to be okay. Love is playing. Not great, not all the time, but he's playing. The Timberwolves get back to 500 after a pretty woeful start. So give them credit to go on the road and beat a pretty good Philly team. But Philly, you know, to me, they're playing over their head. Jrue Holiday is a good player, not a great player. They don't have that. They lost Iguodala, who was a borderline star. Turner, who's finally come around the end of last year, this year, Evan Turner, their number one pick from a few years ago, he had 19. Doug Collins, of course, does a fantastic job coaching. But the Timberwolves go on the road to Philly, and they beat the Philadelphia 76ers. Timberwolves 105. Philadelphia 88. So the big news, of course, in the NBA yesterday, at least to me, even though the Wizards beat the Heat for their second win of the year, I thought the bigger news is the trouble to me that the Lakers are in as the league after just 18 games for the Lakers, and it's really started a few games ago. Jacques Vaughn did it the other night. Have decided to employ a Hack-a-Shaq, which is now being called Hack-a-Howard or Hack-a-Dwight. And the question is, since D'Antoni said, I'm not going to take him out, what am I going to do, take him out all the time? Some people would say, yeah, take him out all the time late in the game so he can't be fouled off the ball, which is what they do. If you saw the films, they just, you know, foul him in the backcourt, let him take his two shots. He can't, you know, if he makes one or two, you're happy if you're a Laker fan, frankly. That's how bad Dwight Howard has been from the line. But the Lakers lose again to Houston. They're now 8-10. Miami does lose to Washington, but really, you know, LeBron James afterwards just blew it off. These things happen. That's the way it goes sometimes. So a huge win for Houston, a huge win for Washington, a terrible loss for the Lakers, but not viewed to be a terrible loss, and I don't think it's a terrible loss for the Miami Heat. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on sportstalknetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few baseball signings of interest and of note. Boston trying to remake their roster after their terrible year. Shane Victorino, 3 years, $39 million to come to Boston. Mike Napoli signed the day before, so they've bulked up with some real winners as well. You know, there was viewed to be, I don't know if this is true, but there were viewed to be attitude problems at the end of two seasons ago with Francona, who was no longer there, and then the Bobby Valentine experiment just didn't work. I think Valentine's a great baseball man. I mean, they did have a ton of injuries, but certainly there were a number of things he didn't handle well. They got rid of Euclid. He questioned Euclid's, or it was viewed to be that he questioned his commitment, which was absurd. Pedroia was furious. You know all those stories there. But they by signing guys like Victorino and Napoli, Boston really becoming more of the gritty type team that they once were. And again, they still have Pedroia. They still have some good players. Interestingly, if you're a New York, Boston, Northeast baseball fan, the Yankees, because you probably heard by now A-Rod's going to need surgery on his left hip as opposed to his bad right hip. Now his left one's bad. Mocked in New York as a steroid guy, and that's why he's breaking down now. He's going to miss April, May, June, and now some people are saying maybe even the season. So believe it or not, the Yankees are talking to Kevin Euclid, who, look, Johnny Damon did it, so I guess Kevin Euclid could do it as well. I think Kevin Euclid is an excellent player and really brings a toughness that I thought helped the Red Sox, you know, through their glory years of beating the Yankees and winning two World Series. But it'll be fascinating if Euclid signs with the Yankees, and that might be an option for Euclid and for the Yankees. Euclid may not want to go there if he thinks A-Rod's coming back July 1. He's going to be a bench player, but you never know. He could always spell Teixeira at first. He could play third. He could be a DH. And he might want to be in that AL East because that's where all the action is. So Victorino and Napoli to Boston. Euclid talking at least to the Yankees. A few other interesting moves. The Tampa Bay Rays got Yuniel Escobar from the Marlins. He's a very good young player, and they're going to plug him right in at shortstop, and he can also give them a little offense. They just gave up a prospect for him. The Giants signed Marco Scudero, the playoff star, the veteran, 3 years, $20 million. He'll be their number two hitter. They just re-signed Angel Pagan, so they have that 1-2 at the top of the order. They have that great pitching staff. You know, and they have Posey, the MVP, who came all the way back from that brutal injury the season before. So the Giants are a factor right off the bat because of their pitching. The Rays have the great pitching as well. The Yankees, you know, they re-signed Pettit. They got Kuroda for one more year. They have excellent pitching. So it is all about the pitching. And on that note, the Nationals give Dan Haren a one-year, $13 million contract. Now, Haren hasn't been healthy. But if he is healthy, you know, I mean, they've got Gio Gonzalez and, of course, Strasburg, Zimmerman, I mean, Haren. They've got an unbelievable pitching staff. So it still is and always will be pitching. So the Nationals make some move in that respect. Boston had to get better in the field because they were just woeful. They did re-sign their DH. And, you know, they're going to be formidable again. Boston's Boston. New York is New York. You know they're always going to be good. Can the Rays and the Orioles, who were great last year, and Toronto, who is totally reloaded here, can they keep up with the Yankees and the Red Sox? Well, I thought the Red Sox were the worst team in the division until they made these recent moves. And now, again, they're going to have to shore up their pitching as well because it's always, always, always about pitching. So those are essentially your baseball. You know, there'll be more moves. The winter meetings are taking place now down in Nashville. So there'll be more baseball moves in the coming days, and, of course, we'll talk all about it. A few things happening this weekend. Of course, the Heisman Trophy Saturday night, 8 o'clock in New York City. Three guys coming to New York, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, who appears to be the guy who's going to win it. You know, they've gone out of their way. He's a redshirt freshman, not just a freshman. No freshman has ever won it. They don't let freshmen talk to the media, but they had Johnny Manziel for a long radio interview and then an actual press conference, and of course he came across as the humble guy from a small Texas town, blah, blah, blah. It looks like he's going to win it because Colin Klein, the K-State quarterback, fell off a little the last 3 or 4 weeks. They lost some games, Kansas State, so I don't think he's going to get it. Monte Teo. Teo, the linebacker from Notre Dame, has had a great year. Very, very hard for a defensive player to win the Heisman. So I think it's going to be Johnny Football. I think the voters just have to get over the fact that he's a freshman. And again, he's a redshirt freshman. He's a junior in terms of college courses because he started school early, which is what a lot of these athletes do now. They'll go in the semester before their freshman year to get some courses out of the way, to get acclimated to the school. That's like a new thing these last few years. So it'll be Manziel, Teo, and Klein in New York Saturday night. And at least the feeling is from, you know, some voters have said who they're going to vote for. They've taken some informal polls among Heisman voters, and it looks like Johnny Manziel has a pretty commanding lead. A few other things going on in college football. As you know, the regular season is over, waiting for the end of December, January bowl games, but Arkansas has hired Brett Bielema to be their head coach. He was the head coach at Wisconsin. And just won his third Big Ten title in a row. Now, the Big Ten ain't what it used to be, but Wisconsin has won 3 in a row. They're going to the Rose Bowl. No talk yet as to whether he's coaching in the Rose Bowl or not, but he was at Wisconsin for 7 years, went to 7 bowls, and he got a 6-year contract from Arkansas for $3.2 million a year. He was only in quotes, making $2.5 million a year at Wisconsin. Auburn has just hired Gus Malzone, and if you follow college football, you know that Gus Malzone was the Auburn assistant offensive coordinator when Cam Newton was there just 2 years ago, it seems like 10 years ago, when Auburn was a national champion, but again, mainly because of Cam Newton. Now Malzone comes back. He coached Arkansas State this year, and now he comes to Auburn, 5 years, $2.3 million per year. Gus Malzone, the new coach of Auburn. Steve Adesio comes to Boston College from Temple. Boston College, normally a very good football school, has fallen on it late, has not been good. He comes from Temple. And Darryl Hazell comes to Purdue from Kent State off of a very good year with Kent State. As you know, they lost the MAC championship to Northern Illinois in the final. But he had a very good year, and he now moves on to Purdue. A few other things. Saturday night, we'll talk more about this. Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez, fight number four. These have all been very good fights. Pacquiao won two of them. One was shaky, and the third one was a draw. Saturday night, number four. And, you know, Pacquiao is a lefty. He's a hard guy to fight. He's a tough guy. But Marquez, 39 years old, has been around the block plenty of times. And as you know, Pacquiao lost his last fight to Timothy Bradley, so that'll be an interesting fight this Saturday night. A bunch of NFL notes. Urlacher is going to be gone, might be gone for the rest of the regular season. The Bears linebacker, Brian Urlacher, has a grade 2 hamstring strain, and you got to think they're going to give him extra time, although the Bears, losing last week, are now 8-4, so they still have to win some games. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger is throwing. He's getting closer. No decision on whether he's going to start this week. Obviously, they're more comfortable now that Charlie Batch played really well last week to beat the Ravens in Baltimore. I mean, again, that was a stunning victory. Speaking of stunning victories, the Redskins, RG3. Now, look, the Redskins beat the Giants twice last year. They almost beat them the first time this year. And at home, they had a little luck. If you saw the game, of course, that fumble, the fumble by RG3, which just took a lucky bounce, and Joshua Morgan picked it up and ran it into the end zone. So that was obviously a big slash lucky play. But it wasn't really luck involved late when he was able, RG3 was able to throw the go-ahead and winning touchdown to Pierre Garçon in the fourth quarter. Redskins 17, Giants 16. And, you know, this guy's a hero. He was actually at the Cavs Wizards game in Washington last night, and LeBron came up and, you know, semi-saluted him. And the Wizards went on to win. So now, of course, I'm sure it's because RG3 is a good luck charm. But he, Redskins on a 3-game winning streak. Griffin this year, 17 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, staggering numbers for a rookie. He's over 700 yards rushing. He broke Cam Newton's all-time rushing record. So even though the Giants are a game up, the Redskins obviously have the hot hand, but they are playing the Ravens this week. That'll be interesting. Ray Lewis practiced Wednesday for the Ravens, trying to get back December 16th against Denver. Julian Edelman out for the season with a broken foot for the Patriots. That's going to hurt. A few quick college basketball notes. Number 5, Louisville buries the College of Charleston 80-38. Again, you know, I don't even like these games early. Number 3, Michigan buries Western Michigan 73-41. Kentucky buries Sanford 88-56. In at least a competitive game, number 6, NC State beats UConn 69-65. Finally, your TV tonight. ESPN doubleheader, Nuggets at Hawks at 8 o'clock, Mavericks at Clippers at 10:30. That's ESPN Eastern, 8 and 10:30. If you get the MSG Network, the Knicks are at the Bobcats, 7 o'clock Eastern. A couple of interesting college basketball games tonight. Florida at Florida State, 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPNU. South Florida at Oklahoma State, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. Temple at Villanova, 9 o'clock ESPN 2, 9 o'clock Eastern. And Penn State at LaSalle, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, NBC Sports Network. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.